Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all that prose about budgets and politics under the bridge. Time for a little poetry. As many of you know, April is National Poetry Month. Here on the Brian Lehrer Show, we're continuing our poetry series today and every Thursday this month with a conversation with a different poet who raises issues that listeners to this show might be interested in. Our first guest was Al Letson, and this week we'll be joined by Martin Espada. We're also relying on you to nominate the fourth and final poet for the last week of this series in late April. You can nominate your choice for who we ought to invite by going to our comments page at WNYC.org or tweet us your nomination by using the hashtag BLPoet, tweet at Brian Lehrer. Joining us right now is the poet Martin Espada, poet and professor at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, originally from Brooklyn. He was also a tenant lawyer and a housing advocate in the past and has been hailed as one of the greatest Latino poets of his generation. His latest book of poetry is entitled The Trouble Ball, Poems. Martin Espada, thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thank you.
Your childhood in Brooklyn certainly seems to have inspired some of your work as a poet. But you've also been a tenant lawyer. Is there a common experience with poetry and with your legal work?
Absolutely. The common link is advocacy, where I find myself speaking on behalf of others who do not have an opportunity to speak for themselves. Not that they couldn't speak for themselves given the chance, they just don't get it.
And you have agreed to read something for us. Tell us what you've got.
Well, this is a poem called Litany at the Tomb of Frederick Douglass. And I can preface it by saying that I was listening in on the last interview that had everything to do with President Obama. And while we all have our criticisms of President Obama, we must not forget the history he made in 2008 and the history we all made by voting for him and the feeling behind the making of that history, because we're going to have to make that kind of history again and again. Right after the election, I found myself in Rochester, New York, and it so happens that's where Frederick Douglass is buried. And so this is the poem that came out of it. It's called Litany at the Tomb of Frederick Douglass, Mount Hope Cemetery, Rochester, New York, November the 7th, 2008. This is the longitude and latitude of the impossible. This is the epicenter of the unthinkable. This is the crossroads of the unimaginable. The tomb of Frederick Douglass 3 days after the election. This is a world spinning away from the gravity of centuries, where the grave of a fugitive slave has become an altar. This is the tomb of a man born as chattel who taught himself to read in secret, scraping the letters in his name with chalk on wood. Now, on the anvil flat stone, a campaign button fills the O in Douglas. The button says, Obama. This is the tomb of a man in chains who left his fingerprints on the slave breaker's throat so the whip would never carve his back again. Now a labor union T-shirt drapes itself across the stone offered up by a nurse, a janitor, a bus driver. A sticker on the sleeve says, I voted today. This is the tomb of a man who rolled his call to arms off the press, peering through spectacles at the abolitionist headline. Now a newspaper spreads above his dates of birth and death. The headline says, Obama wins. This is the stillness at the heart of the storm that began in the body of the first slave dragged aboard the first ship to America. Yellow leaves descend in waves, and the newspaper flutters on the tomb like the sails Douglas saw on the bay, like the eyes of a slave closing to watch himself escape with the tide. Believers in spirits would see the pages trembling on the stone and say, look how the slave boy teaches himself to read. I say a prayer, the first in years, that here we bury what we call the impossible, the unthinkable, the unimaginable, now and forever. Amen.
Martin Espada, reading Litany at the Tomb of Frederick Douglass from his new book of poetry, The Trouble Ball. That was great. And that was written, as you said, Mount Hope Cemetery at the Tomb of Frederick Douglass in Rochester, November 7th, just days after President Obama was elected. Would you be moved to something like that still by President Obama, or much less so?
Well, first of all, it's not an Obama poem. It's a Frederick Douglass poem. Secondly, it's a poem about the making of history. It's about how we felt at the moment that history was made. And as I said in an introduction to the poem, we can't lose that feeling, even as we become frustrated or disillusioned with the Obama administration. We can't lose the way we felt at that moment, because we have to organize around that feeling. We have to make that kind of history over and over again if we're going to change the society.
Tell us about the title poem of your book, The Trouble Ball. It's about your father and another of your loves, baseball.
Yes, well, The Trouble Ball is the title poem of the new book from Norton, and it is dedicated to my father, Frank Espada, who also appears on the cover of the book, rearing back to throw what appears to be a fastball, and he was 17 years old at the time that photograph was taken in 1947. But the setting of The Trouble Ball is a few years prior to that, in 1941. My father, who had just come over to the United States of Puerto Rico, literally a boy off the boat, went to his first major league ball game with his father, and my father was expecting to see all of the heroes he had seen play ball on the island of Puerto Rico, and that for him meant the Negro League stars, especially Satchel Paige, who some consider the greatest pitcher who ever lived. And yet, as most of your listeners will know, Major League Baseball was segregated at the time. And so while the Negro League stars could play in Puerto Rico, they could not play in the United States. And my father, to his utter dismay, his utter shock at the age of 11, discovered after a few innings of sitting there at Ebbets Field that everybody on the field was white. And he confirmed this with his father. It was really an impossible thing for him to absorb, as I say in the poem, like snow in Puerto Rico. It's incomprehensible. And so, you know, he told this story to me many, many years later. And he's 80 years old now. And it's clear that the memory still disturbs him, still mm-hmm. bothers him very much.
That was, of course, before Jackie Robinson. You write a lot about immigration, many poems that have immigration themes. And you talk about your Puerto Rican heritage. How do you experience a difference in the identity of you as a Puerto Rican and the rest of the Latino community in the United States, which would be immigrants, which Puerto Ricans are not? Puerto Ricans are born U.S. citizens. And we have a minute left.
Well, there's a common ground. There's a common legacy of discrimination. There's a common legacy of racism. I've always seen common ground between myself and immigrant communities in this country, which is why I worked as a tenant lawyer with immigrant communities in Boston.
And do you want to take a shot at nominating another poet, as we're asking our listeners to do, to fill the fourth slot in this series? Anybody who'd like to see follow you in this seat?
Presumably a living poet.
I think that would be easier.
That would be helpful, yeah. More dynamic interview. Well, there are so many, but I'd like to nominate someone from the younger generation of poets. Her name is Aristelis Girmay, G-I-R-M-A-Y. She is Puerto Rican and Eritrean, and her first book, Teeth, was published by Curbstone Press. I highly recommend it. She's a Cave Canem fellow also, and I might add here that I'm going to be doing a book launch for The Trouble Ball May 12th. 6:30 p.m. at Cave Canem in Brooklyn.
Right. And that's a good way to end. With Martin Espada, his new book of poems is The Trouble Ball, Poems. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciated it.
Thank you.
And listeners, again, you can recommend a poet for the fourth slot in this National Poetry Month series on our comments page or tweet at us, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.